Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is Houghton County Prosecuting Candidate Doug Edwards. Doug, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick.
Now, anybody that's lived in this area for any period of time will know Doug Edwards as former Houghton County Prosecutor. What made you decide to come back to it?
Well, the big reason is to restore confidence and credibility back into the prosecutor's office. And what do I mean by that? I've heard a lot of complaints the last 8 years. So then I went back to the 2012 election and looked at the results. And what surprised me, it was a very close election between Mike Mackinnon and Pam Dobbs. Out of approximately 15,000 votes, he beat her by less than 200 votes. I looked further into the voting, and what really surprised me was that he didn't even get 50% of the voters. So over 50% of the voters did not have confidence in Mr. Mackinnon, who's been a lifelong resident and practiced his entire career here in Houghton County. And why do I say they didn't have confidence in him? Well, there were 900 and some voters who didn't vote for either candidate. So I thought, well, what's going on? Then I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know, in the practice of law, like other professions, medicine or pro sports, everybody specializes. If you have a family physician, he's not going to do knee replacement or heart valve replacement. It's the same in the legal profession. I went to law school, undergraduate work, to practice criminal law. And that was my goal. I'm confident to say that Mike Mackinnon didn't go to college to practice criminal law. We all have our own interest. So here he is, prosecutor, and he's not doing the job.
How long were you prosecuting attorney here?
20 years. That was five terms.
And where did you practice prior to that?
I was at the law firm of Wistie and Jaskalainen out of Hancock. And one thing I learned there, and I give credit to the late Andrew Wistie, who turned nobody away. When I was prosecutor, I had that philosophy, you don't let the victim down. So I've been a strong victim's advocate all my life. They were treated like a client when I was prosecutor. And if I get reelected in January, they will continue to be treated like a client. I've often heard that some victims are victimized twice. I said, that's not going to happen to me. I'm going to go to bat for each one right up to the very end.
Explain that. What do you mean by victimized twice?
If somebody commits a crime, say, against four or five defendants, and the prosecutor, which is within his discretion, decides to plead it down, like B&E, say there's five B&Es, to just one B&E. Well, now there's four victims. They're left out in the cold. And a lot of people say, well, it's the system. It isn't the system. It's the individual who runs that department. My policy has always been and will always be consulting the victim. What do you want to do? Here's what we have. In fact, if they wanted a copy of the police report, I gave it to them. I'd tell them, you read this. If there's anything in there that's not correct, let us know. And believe it or not, it's amazing how forgiving most victims are. But you got to work with them. If you don't work with them, they go away mad. And I said, that'll never happen as prosecutor, and it never did.
During the months that you've been campaigning, though, you're running as an independent, so you didn't have to get past the primary. But now that you've got the general election coming up, but you've been talking to people out there, what are you hearing?
Sad to say, it's all negative about Mr. Mackinnon. The things I'm hearing is that he can't win a case. He pleads everything down. He doesn't care about victims. I haven't been in the courtroom to watch him, but that's the feedback I'm getting. And I suspect that back in 2012, when you're talking about over 50% of the popular voters did not support Mr. Mackinnon, those were the people that are in the know. They know what's going on, or they have friends that know what's going on, or they were victims.
Let me ask, in the time since you've been the prosecutor, what have you been up to?
Well, after 20 years, it was a great break. Okay. I loved it. I think when you're in the in the trenches 24/7. You know, a lot of people don't realize that you're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're on vacation and out of the area, it's about the only break you get. It was a good break. You know, after a while, it just works on you. And I think everybody needs a break after 20 years. I've had two terms to recoup, and I'm just as fired up now as I was when I first ran. And if everything goes well, I'll work for another 20 years, and that'll be it.
What have you seen as the change between, you know, the climate now, especially maybe the climate, the drug problems that we've had, the overcrowding at the jail, we've had a rise in violent crime, as opposed to when you were practicing as the prosecutor, was it 8 years ago?
Nothing has changed. We still had violent crime. We still had overcrowding. That's why they created that halfway house up at their airport there. Nothing's changed. However, I've always been a law and order prosecutor. If you don't have law and order, you have anarchy. Keep in mind, the prosecutor doesn't make the laws, doesn't interpret the laws. We just enforce them. So when you say violent crime has increased, I had 6 murders within my first 2 terms, and those people were put away. I had multiple CSC convictions. And my very first term, the first 2 years, I was tested. And keep in mind, every prosecutor who gets elected gets tested by the defense bar. I had 2 of the finest lawyers represent defendants my first 2 years. One was Mr. Castleman out of Marquette, and the other was the late Andrew Wistie out of Hancock. And after the trials, the juries agreed with me. Defendants were guilty, and we were all happy at the prosecutor's office with the results. So I'm not afraid to go to trial. I'm not afraid to challenge any defense attorney who wants to do what they have to do to acquit their client. And keep in mind, I don't overcharge, never have, and I don't charge somebody unless I'm convinced beyond all reasonable doubt they're guilty. I don't guess. I don't shoot from the hip. If I'm convinced, I charge them. And I don't cherry pick. I don't say, well, this is a lousy case. I don't think I can win. I never did that. I thought if I charge them, win or lose, they may think twice about doing again. And the other complaints I've heard is the businesses. There's bad checks out there. People who write bad checks, if nothing is done, they do it again and again and again. When I was prosecutor, if they wrote a bad check, we went after them. I can guarantee you, I saw very few individuals that came back with bad checks again. They learned their lesson. You get arrested, you get arraigned, it's in the paper, that's embarrassing. They don't write bad checks. I'm hearing a lot of business, and they'll say, the current prosecutor does nothing about bad checks. And of course, the answer from the prosecutor's office, oh, well, we're limited on funds, or we don't have that kind of money. No, nothing has changed. It's a policy of the prosecutor, not the funds.
There is an expense when it comes to prosecuting anybody. And would you weigh that into your methodology as far as, you know, what this might cost the county if you're going to pursue something to a trial as opposed to seeking a plea deal? I'm sure you have to weigh the amount of evidence that you have and the strength of your case. So when you're putting together those pieces, what are you looking at?
Keep in mind, if you were a victim, would you want me to tell you, well, you know, I don't have enough money here, so I'm just going to dispose of your case the way I want? I don't care what you think about it. That was never a problem with me. And it still isn't a problem. That's an excuse. There's a misconception about expenses when it comes to prosecution. Prosecutors paid a salary, the judges a salary, the witnesses, there's a nominal fee. Sure, the jury has to come from the community and take time off, but that's the constitutional right of every defendant. And that, as citizens, should be a duty we perform. So cost has never, ever been an issue. And it wasn't a problem. We never ran over budget. You know, every department has to work within a budget. I never ran over it. And I got exactly what I wanted from each defendant. And keep in mind, everybody that was charged by my office there was over a 98% accountability, meaning all those defendants or all those people charged when it came to Minor, we held over 98% of those accountable for their actions.
So receive some sort of conviction or plea.
Or a plea, yeah. And when you're talking about juveniles or young adults, there's a lot of young adults that make mistakes. Well, we don't want to ruin their career if the mistake was minor. And most victims will say, yeah, I'd check with them. They'd say, go with it. Give them a second chance. We'd never see them again.
Now, talking with different court officials, I've talked to judges, I've talked to both the attorneys over there, and they maintain that the situation over at the jail, the overcrowding of the jail, doesn't directly play into what they seek in as far as in sentencing. It does kind of come into play in the judge's side because they have to have a place to put somebody if they're going to sentence somebody to jail. Now, as a prosecutor, do you bring in that concern as far as how the person will be handled after their sentence, as far as what kind of sentence you go after?
No. And the reason I say that, the judge is there to determine the sentence.
Okay.
The prosecutor gives the input. Keep in mind, before every defendant is sentenced, there's a pre-sentence report. So we all know the background of that individual. There are some good people that make mistakes. We're not looking for jail time. When that individual was arrested, they probably spent one night in jail. That was a lesson in and of itself. So that's never a concern. I leave the sentencing up to the judge. I always have. And I give them input. But I know that's their job.
So it sounds like you'll be prepared to go to trial when necessary and perhaps more often than it is going right now.
Well, like I said earlier, when you're first elected, they test you. When you get convictions, they plead. There's no ifs, ands about it. But if you have a hard time getting convictions, if you decide to go to trial, there's going to be a lot of them because the defense attorneys know they can beat you. I set a pace right in the beginning, two good trials, and I had seven murders, six were sent away. We got exactly what we wanted, and the victims were happy.
I know that as the public's general reaction to a plea agreement is usually that some sort of deal was cut in favor of the defendant to avoid the burden of trying to prosecute. But from what I understanding is that it can also work in the prosecution's favor of you're getting the conviction you want because you're able to threaten something larger. It's not a plea down, it's a plea to what you want to charge them with.
Well, that's the biggest complaint I hear about Mr. Mackinnon. He's pleading everything down. I didn't do that. Number one is I never threatened something more serious. If a police report came in and I charged a serious crime, I didn't overcharge. I charged exactly what I thought that individual committed. The defendant had a choice, go to trial or plead to something less. I didn't offer something less until I talked to the victim. I threw out a scenario, this is what they might get if they plea. And if the victim wanted to go to trial, I went to trial. But it happened very seldom. Like I said, they're very forgiving. They want to move on in their life, and they were happy to get what the defendant pled to. I always consulted with the victim. It wasn't my choice. It was their choice. Yet, every prosecutor doesn't have to do that. They can do what they want. They don't have to consult with the victim. They can make it look like, well, I'm talking to you and this is what I'm going to do, but they do what they want. I didn't. I treated them just like a client.
Do you feel that you will address the public and be, sort of open and available to questions as far as how cases are being handled if you were elected?
I was always that way when I was prosecutor. In fact, every case that I resolved, I asked myself, if I go to the public and say, here's the facts, here's the plea, do you agree with me? And if I didn't come away convinced that they would agree with the plea I offered, I didn't do it. Because you're an elected official. You take an oath to enforce the laws of Michigan within the U.S. and Michigan Constitution. I never had that problem. My office was always open. People came in, they talked to me. Nothing's going to change if I take over January 1st. I was very open.
Would you be handling anything other than criminal law in Houghton County?
Well, when I was first elected, I represented two of our elected county officials in federal court. But keep in mind, I came from the law firm of Wistie and Jaskalainen. I practiced in that area. I represented them. The cases got dismissed. Later on, they hired side counsel, the insurance companies hired them. But whatever the prosecutor has to do, I did it, and I will continue to do it. It was a challenge, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. I'd have to say, being prosecutor was a fun job. I enjoyed going to work every day. When I think of my dad, who had to go to work, he had seven kids to feed, didn't like it. I liked this job. And I always said to myself, I don't want a job I don't enjoy going to, and this is one I enjoyed going to.
Well, why'd you want to be a criminal lawyer?
You know, ever since I was little, criminal law fascinated me. I really enjoyed it. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. I didn't want to be a business lawyer. And when I was at the Wistie Law Firm, I had, I think, 12 criminal trials. I enjoyed it. I was the only lawyer there that handled the criminal cases that came in. I enjoyed it. It was fun. For some reason, it's like maybe a chess game or a checker game. Someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. You do the best you can. And it was a challenge. And it's always fun to win, but some cases you lose. Mm-hmm. You just go with the flow.
You got a favorite television lawyer, don't you?
You know, I have to tell you, I was raised without a television.
Really?
I don't have a television to this day. I don't have the time to sit there and watch television. I figure maybe when I get older, that'll be my entertainment. But nowadays, you can see everything on your phone or your computer, so you don't need a TV. I love the outdoors. I'm a hunter, a fisherman, a trapper. Since I was little, all I did was spend my time outdoors. The only time I come indoors is to sleep or eat, or work. So I can't tell you who the famous defense lawyers. However, I did read books in the past, you know, but I always liked criminal law. It was exciting, you know. To this day, it's exciting. I remember when I had those six murders. It was one after another, and that was very exciting. Sad for the victim's family, but it was exciting as a prosecutor.
Any concerns that over in the last 8 years that we have advances in technology, changes in procedures that, you know, might take a little time to catch up to speed?
No. One thing nice about all the prosecutors in Michigan, we have what's called the Michigan Prosecutors Association. They bend over backwards to help every prosecutor in every way, shape, or form. And if you got a question, I use them a lot when I first got elected. They're there to help you. They offer courses. You name it. And I'm glad they're there. And I would use them if I need them. I'm not afraid to ask. Not at all. But I don't see that as a problem at all.
Trials are not extremely common in Houghton County. We do have, you know, a number of them in any given year. You know, most of them are high-profile things that we would follow in the news, but, you know, they do happen. And, of course, at any trial, you start by selecting a jury. Is there any particular attributes that you're looking for from jury members when you're going through that process?
Of course. Whether you're a defense attorney or prosecutor, you look for the jurors who you feel will bend your way or believe what you have to say. There's a knack to that. There's a skill to that. I've tried with cases with many defense attorneys. To me, that's the fun part. We all know a little bit about the juror, so we do our best. And I ask myself, let's see, would I want that juror on there if I was a defendant or the prosecution? And when I was a defense attorney, I always picked somebody who was more favorable to the defense. There was a chance. Or when I was prosecutor, it was, no, I don't want this person. It's just traits you pick up with life's experience. You say, nah, I don't want this one. So you do the best you can and see what happens. But both sides get to pick. And like a chess game, there's a winner and there's a loser. But I have to tell you, in my 20 years, I never had one conviction overturned, not a one. I only had one case where the individual was wrongfully charged, but we offered him the polygraph. And keep in mind, the polygraph is there as a tool. I don't know who's telling the truth, when a victim says, he did this to me, and the defendant says, I didn't do it. So I say, take the polygraph. It's just a test. We can't use it as evidence, but I don't know. He refused to take it because his attorney says, don't take it. Had he taken it, he would have passed it. The charges wouldn't have been brought. And we didn't learn until about a year later, 2 years later, when he was a suspect in another crime. And we says, you want to take the polygraph? He says, yeah. So we asked the polygraph tester and the guy. He says, hey, ask him about this question. He passed the flying colors. He didn't commit the crime. So I'm very careful on who I charge. I won't charge somebody just because the police report says that. I have to be convinced that person did it. And I, of course, if I have doubt, I offer him the polygraph because there's no other investigative tool that's as close to that feeling that, well, maybe he did or didn't do it. But it's worked. It's worked every time since we've used it. And go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. Earlier in the interview, when you were addressing, addressing the public and the victims, and that was when we were talking about you having the evidence for it, kind of just going with a little bit of what you were talking about there. Would you have the same approach if, you know, the police have made an arrest, they've brought you a case, they laid out what evidence they had, you looked at it and said, I can't win this. But yet, you know, maybe you have a public outcry. They're looking for justice. Somebody wants somebody to pay for the crime. How do you handle that?
No, I never looked at it that way. Can I win this? When I decided to authorize, it was, did I believe that person committed the crime? I never made a decision on, can I win or can I lose? If I looked at the report and all the elements of the crime were there, and we're talking about circumstantial evidence, direct evidence. If I could go to a jury, because remember, the defense files motions to dismiss lack of evidence. If I can go to a jury, I go to a jury. And I did on cases I knew I was going to lose because the victim says, we're going to go. And I says, let's go. I can think of one case, criminal sexual conduct, where the defendant would have pled. I believed he did it. He wanted to plea to a fourth degree, which is a 2-year high misdemeanor, and the victim wanted to, but her mother, she was a minor, says no. Well, had I copped the plea, says I'm not going to listen to you, she would have went around and says, you know, we could have sent this guy to prison if he wouldn't have reduced it to fourth degree. But I knew the evidence was weak. I told her that. We went to trial. The jury found him not guilty. So here we have a case where the defendant wanted to plead. We went to trial. She was happy with me. She wasn't happy with the jury result, but it was a very difficult case. I don't make decisions based on strength or weakness. Never have and never will. I have to be convinced. If they did it, I charge them. And it works. I've seen people that we've charged, I believe they did it. They never committed a crime again. But if I did nothing, who knows? They'll be thinking, I got away with this. Maybe we'll do it again.
Well, we have a little bit left here to go. I want to just ask you, you certainly seem very passionate about, prosecuting law. This seems, you said that you enjoyed it, and I definitely believe it. But people are going to go to the voter's box here on November 8th, and they're going to cast a vote for a number of offices, one of them being prosecuting attorney. If you had a chance to speak to that voter before going into that box, what would you tell them in a, sort of a brief elevator pitch?
I would say, I'm an independent candidate. And the reason I'm running independent is because I'm in law enforcement. I don't make the laws. I don't interpret the laws. How would you feel if your local law enforcement officer had to take an oath before they were employed or during their employment or had to swear or had to commit their allegiance to a political party? The first thing you'd say is, you're crazy. Well, law enforcement should not be part of a political party. Politics has no part in enforcing the law. However, at the national level, we see that from time to time. But I would tell them, if you want a compassionate prosecutor who will go to bat for you if you ever become a victim, there's only one candidate of the two that will do that, and that's me.
If somebody had a question for Doug Edwards for Houghton County Prosecutor, how would they do that?
They can call me at area code 906-369-3684, or they can write me a letter at 27993 McCallum Lane, that's in Lake Linden, Michigan, 49945. And I'll be happy to speak in front of groups, any group out there. Tell them exactly how I feel and what I did for 20 years, and that will continue if I get elected in January.
Thanks so much for coming on the program.
And thank you for having me.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.